It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday, May 26th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. Google's I/O Developer Conference kicks off in 2 days. It's probably a safe bet that there won't be people jumping out of planes wearing Google Glass. That project has sort of been sent back to the drawing board. What will we see? Early information has suggested a new operating system for Android devices could be released. Maybe news on the company's modular smartphone, Project Aura. Also, virtual reality. One event invite hints that there could be some big VR news at I/O. Because it's such a new area, it's not always easy to convince people it's really part of our near future. But businesses are being slowly but surely introduced to this stuff. Jeff Skow's company, Fishbowl VR, tries to help startup companies understand what to do with virtual reality. Hi, Jeff.
Howdy.
When you bring in developers and do these tests with them, what haven't they considered about the 3D universe that they're entering?
I think the biggest thing, and I don't know that it's that they don't understand it, but it's that the issue is trying to shoehorn kind of 2D solutions to a 3D platform.
So it's basically like they kind of have to start from scratch?
Exactly. There's a great quote from a writer at Valve, which is teaming with HTC on a VR headset, and he says, when it comes to VR, we don't know anything. And I think that that's something that people quickly realize, is that there's a brand new platform and it's got new design challenges and opportunities.
What stuff have you realized needs to be built in these kinds of environments?
I think there are so many new interesting things that you can do that I think a lot of the developers are just kind of still discovering what opportunities are there. There's some experiences that after you do it, you just say, wow, this is a game changer. You know, there's a title called Titans of Space, where it's a tour of the universe and you go around our solar system and then out, you know, to the sun and past the sun. And you know, I found myself days after thinking about astronomy, which is not a hobby of mine, but there's this unique thing where it's more like a memory of something that you've experienced and less, you know, an entertainment experience like watching a movie. You know, it feels like you are actually there, and I think there's kind of a deeper imprint of your experience.
Your company is industry-facing and industry-serving. Has anything interesting come out of that?
Yeah, you know, I think traditionally people think of testing as more a service of quality assurance. So it's something that you kind of tack on at the end to make sure that there's not bugs and that things work for everyone. I think for VR, it's almost like a wind tunnel, if you think of aerospace, where there's so much still to figure out. And so it's just really important to test concepts and test, you know, motion sickness. For 9 people, it might be perfectly fine, but for that 10th, it's not. And that's fine when you think of a technology adoption lifecycle, and we've got kind of the innovators now, but that's not going to fly when, you know, the Oculus Rift is available to consumers, the public. There's going to be less kind of leeway.
Jeff Skow is co-founder of the company Fishbowl VR. Jeff, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
There's a movement growing in the world of tech users. Journalist Nathan Schneider calls it slow computing, kind of like the slow food movement, but for the hardware and software we use every day. Schneider says people are waking up about where their technology comes from and figuring out more potentially responsible ways of using it. Hi, Nathan. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. It's great to be on the show.
Thanks for coming on. So this is such an interesting idea, this comparison of slow food and slow computing. Tell me a little bit about what drove you to think about computing in this way.
Well, part of it just comes from what I think is a very common experience, which is realizing how much of my life I'm actually spending staring at a computer.
What are some of the things that you've been doing to bring yourself closer to the software and the hardware you use every day?
You know, like a lot of people today, I find it very useful to have some kind of cloud services. And so instead of using Google or Dropbox services or Apple services, I've been using a tool called OwnCloud, a few other open source free tools that are managed through a member-run organization called MayFirst that I'm a member of. So, you know, I can call up the people who manage my server and my cloud services and talk with them about what they're up to and about modifications to the service and things like that. And it's kind of like knowing your farmer.
We don't want to speculate too much, but I would imagine that as people grow up with this technology around them, that might also play a role in having more people think carefully about the technology that they use and be more engaged with using more open source stuff. Do you think that that's happening or that that might happen?
I think it certainly can. You know, in the last few years, for instance, the usability of Linux-based operating systems like Ubuntu have been increasing. And I think we often underestimate how much time we spend learning how to use Apple stuff and Google stuff and what could happen if we spent some more of that time using community-developed tools that are in the commons and that are available for everyone.
Do you think that VC-funded tech companies make different technology than these communities you're talking about, really fundamentally?
I think the funding model is really at the core of the problem. You know, you look at something like Uber. This is something that really should be cooperative, you know, owned by the drivers of the cars. Instead, because of this incredible amount of VC investment, Uber is able to build this highly centralized model around what should be a very decentralized, cooperatively owned business. And I think it raises great questions about how can we arrange our society, our public policies differently so that we can all be joint owners, controllers of the future of the internet.
Nathan Schneider is a journalist and author. His article about the joys of slow computing appears in the New Republic this month. Nathan, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
All right, what do you think? Is slow computing a worthy enterprise? Does the tech world need a movement like this? Tell us your opinion or give us a story about using open tools instead of the usual hardware and software. Post your thoughts to facebook.com/marketplacetech. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.